You know what?
You know what, Rod?
You get the one up on this one.
I told you,
but there'll be another day.
You know what?
No, you know what? Another day, another time.
Okay, Rod.
I don't care how many people you paid off to get in the Hall of Fame.
I'm not scared. You're never gonna find. All right? Don't just get near me.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He has no idea who I am. They don't call me the unpredictable one for nothing. Next time I get him, I'm gonna put my boots on and go in the ring with him and teach him a lesson that he's never gonna forget.
Well, you may put your boots on, Mr. Jerry Fitzwater. I'm about to put a new pair of pants on, because that was intense. This is the living legend, Johnny Rods, and I have a feeling we haven't seen the end of this. Back to you. Don Tony. Hey, what? Is that Grim Reaper? Right now. Is that him? Tell him I said hello. Tell him I said I like his hat. Tell him I said that.
He says he likes your hat.
It's a great hat. I love it.
He said the pink hat?
Oh, no. Anyways.
It's time for the Don Tony Show.
You've waited all week, and now it's finally here. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Oh boy. Exhausted, everybody. Exhausted, but a happy exhausted. Having a fun night tonight. Just finished SmackDown and Zelina Vega made her return. Look at that, Zelina Vega. Wait a minute. Do I see something a little strange? Wait a minute. Look in the lower right-hand corner. Yeah, that person looks a little familiar. Deli hat. Deli man mask. New York, Jersey. I was in Thunderdome since 7:15 p.m. today Eastern. This thing smells like death right now. And the best part about it is, I mentioned it earlier on Twitter. By the way, I hope the audio sounds all right. Literally, as soon as SmackDown ended, I literally had to shut everything down and load, you know, the software for tonight, because I have two cameras. I have the webcam, which I use for Thunderdome, and I have my regular glass camera that I use for all of you. So I can't have both going at the same time. And if I use both softwares, they kind of like cancel each other out. So I literally got about 3 minutes to shut everything down. You might see me doing this tonight. No, I don't do blow, but my nose is freaking itchy. I had this on from 7:15 until 10, but I had a ball. I had a lot of fun tonight. Not a bad episode of SmackDown. You know, recreating that moment where Roman Reigns had the, had that bar around his mouth, Edge, you know, with that crazy look, and they recreated it tonight with Jimmy Uso. Okay. I know what a lot of you are thinking right off the bat. Zelina Vega, very productive conversation with the ambulance chaser, Gabrielle Cartieres. Look, Zelina Vega looks happy. Obviously, she still has to eat a little bit of crow if she's going to return to WWE. I'll be honest with you. And at least you now understand why we really don't have Money in the Bank qualifying matches on the women's side on SmackDown. Yes, we had something with Liv Morgan tonight and Zelina Vega, but when Sonya Deville got on the mic to announce the next person in the Money in the Bank briefcase match at Money in the Bank, when she starts pulling out these accolades, I'm saying to myself, hold on a minute. Bayley obviously is not in it. She's taking on Bianca Belair again because they don't have anybody else to feud with at the moment. So obviously Bianca and Bayley aren't going to be in the briefcase match. Natty and Tamina are tag champs. They're not going to be in the match. That leaves Liv Morgan, Carmella, who's already in, and Sasha Banks. So I thought we were getting the return of Sasha Banks tonight. But obviously they want that eruption, that pop from the crowd, rather than LED screens. Trust me, even if I yelled at the top of my lungs, even though on Thunderdome they tell us in the earpiece, all right, everybody, loud scream and everything, this is what you would hear. Seriously, I'm going to scream at the top of my lungs right now that Sasha Banks would have been the person tonight. This is what you would have heard. Just think about it in a production stance, and if any of you out there that do podcast stuff, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You got 500 LED screens, and if your sound could actually go through the arena and people at home would hear it, they would have to have 500 audio channels open. Now, yes, some people would mute their mics anyway. They may not even have microphones. Do you realize how god-awful that would sound? You would have to try to balance out everybody's audio. I mean, when I used to do podcasts with my old co-host, Kev Castle, you know, because we had such different equipment, to level out each person's volume was difficult. You know, not a big deal, but now imagine doing that for 500 people. It's not worth it. And imagine somebody in production that's leveling out someone's audio. Oh, it sounds great. And then they disconnect. So we got Zelina Vega back today. She looks happy. She looks as beautiful as ever, even though we've seen her on social media almost every day. As I said yesterday, and by the way, much love to everybody who tuned in last night. We had such an awesome show, great contest. We had some tremendous calls last night. Guardian of Chaos paying a lot of tribute to his friend Del Wilkes, the Patriot, who passed away yesterday at 59. But, you know, I think it was Edwin had asked me yesterday. If it wasn't Edwin, it was someone else. But someone asked me yesterday, you know, as far as Aleister Black. And I said, I truthfully believe that WWE is going to make a pitch to bring Aleister Black back to WWE. I know AEW would love to have him, but I just can't picture Aleister Black, Tommy End, leapfrogging Kenny Omega, leapfrogging Sammy Guevara, leapfrogging MJF, leapfrogging Miro, leapfrogging the Young Bucks. Too many people to leapfrog. I mean, I almost feel like if he came into AEW, he probably would fight for the TNT Championship. The TNT Championship, it's for a network. It's not really the promotions title. It's for a network. So we'll have the wrestlers, even though Miro is knocking it out of the park right now. I personally think, and I didn't think about this a couple of weeks ago, but now I'm really convinced. If Aleister Black doesn't come back to WWE and doesn't go to Japan, I think the perfect fit for him is NWA. I could picture him and Nick Aldis going at it big time. I think that would be phenomenal. But now we have Zelina Vega back, excuse me. Does it feel like to you that WWE does not have as many couples in the company anymore? I mean, we do have some couples, obviously. Charlotte and Andrade, you know, they're a couple, but Andrade's no longer there. You think of Killian Dane and Nikki Cross, aren't they an item? Killian Dane's no longer there. You still have Bianca Belair and Montez Ford. You still have Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. You still have a couple. But it seems like a lot of couples are no longer together in WWE. I don't know. I don't know. We will see what happens, everyone. But please, please, let's be a little realistic here. Zelina Vega, the big criticism that everybody gave when she wrestled in WWE last time is she's small. She's tiny. Look at the SmackDown roster. Bianca Belair, maybe a little more tone in the muscle department and stronger. Not much size difference between her and Zelina Vega. Carmella, not much different in the size department. Bayley, I tell you, even on Thunderdome tonight, Bayley looked nice tonight. Can't say that too loud. Bayley, not too much difference in size. Sasha Banks, not too much difference in size. Tamina, all right. Natty, maybe a little bit. Liv Morgan, not too much in size. Zelina Vega fits right in perfectly. She fits right in. Yeah, Jimmy Uso and Naomi are still together. But a lot of couples, no longer together in WWE. I'm not saying that they're not going to bring back Aleister Black because he's involved with Zelina. But this should show you. You know, Zelina Vega worked out a deal. And this goes back to what I said last year. And I'm sorry for sounding like a broken record. Andrew Yang means well. Andrew Yang believes that wrestlers are taken advantage of. Andrew Yang believes that there should be a union. Andrew Yang is very good talking 320 characters. But Andrew Yang will not do the work himself. He won't even lead the wrestlers to water, hopefully that they would drink. You would think Andrew Yang would tell the wrestlers, hey, I can't do anything about this, but you might want to get in touch with this person. You might want to get in touch with this. You might want to seek out this. You might want to do this. And guess what? Nobody in wrestling stepped up. Nobody. The social media community stepped up for Zelina Vega. The social media community stepped up for wrestlers' rights. The social media community feel that wrestlers are being untreated. Well, guess what? The social media community can't do anything but talk about it. The people that matter, who are the wrestlers, nobody stepped up and said, you know, I've had it. We got to start a union. No, you know what wrestlers did? Seriously, to Zelina Vega last year? You go, girl. You go, girl. You stand up for yourself. You know how bad I feel for Zelina Vega today? Because I guarantee you, Zelina Vega, going through those curtains, probably felt like, oh my God, everything that I fought for last year, and she did fight the good fight. She really wanted to see things change. The problem is, no man is an island. No woman is an island. And Zelina Vega without true support. That's why I say, you know, there are people out there that just absorb, take in the social media love. But at the end of the day, they're not paying your bills. They're not getting you out of problems. You know, they tweet a little bit of support in exchange for a like, but that's all it goes. And Zelina Vega kind of got the same thing, right? Courtney, shout out to you, my sister from another mister. And thank you, everybody who's live right now that agree with me. You know, trust me, I had no idea Zelina Vega was returning today. And if this sounds like a great analysis, I'm in Thunderdome smelling my dead breath. And Zelina Vega pops out, and it's like, oh, no chance to prepare or let this sink in. I'm just giving you my instincts right now. I'm happy that she worked out everything with WWE. I have no idea what she will do, if anything, as far as her outside projects. But she's back, and she wants to wrestle. You know, that's the thing. She wants to wrestle, and she feels that at this particular moment, this might be a better opportunity for her. I hope that WWE gives her the chance. I hope that she can show everybody that she actually is pretty damn decent in the ring. But 6 months from now, and then what? Any chance you think she leapfrogs Sasha Banks? No fucking way. Any chance she leapfrogs Bayley? I doubt it. Any chance she leapfrogs Bianca Belair? You know, so we don't know her level of content, you know, but that's her life. That's her career. That's her choice. She walked through that curtain and she is back. And I just hope social media doesn't turn around and say, oh my God, you're sleeping with the enemy, if you understand the phrase. You know, I hope she does not get backlash for this, because anybody online could talk shit. You know, she tried. She truly tried. Unfortunately, you know, nobody truly stepped up.
You go, girl.
What'd that do? What'd that do? Made her feel good? It's not enough. You could complain about WWE and independent contractors. I could complain. The whole social media world could complain. But we're not the ones that can change that. And until the wrestlers themselves change it, anytime wrestlers get released, anytime someone feels mistreated, the next time you get the urge to go on social media and say, independent contractors need to stop, the next time Andrew Yang types that shit, resist the urge to retweet it or like it, because at the end of the day, they're not doing nothing for these wrestlers, and the wrestlers are not stepping up for themselves. They're not. They're not. So why should we get behind that movement when the wrestlers themselves won't even do it? A little bit of filler tonight, because we don't have too much to talk about. This show will be probably the quickest show that I have done since we moved on to YouTube. But don't forget, Monday I will be here with Mish. We will be taking calls, and I definitely would love a lot of you to call in and express your thoughts about the reveal of the greatest WWE Tag Team Champions of all time. I want to give a shout out to Crazy Cruiserweight. I feel bad. I know he wanted to call in yesterday to give the final five, but obviously the way everything went yesterday, you know, and it wasn't a major conversation. To be honest with you, the fact that the Brainbusters are not even in the top 50 because Tully and Arn are in AEW right now, as soon as I see that, and I'm like, fuck this list. The only reason why I don't truly say that is because the New Day, I mean, it's hard not to like them. You know, they bust their ass, and they truly have become, for this generation, one of the top tag teams in history. So I guess we could just talk about this for a second. But like I said, Monday we'll have a nice convo. I will talk with Mish. We will take your calls and you could talk about it as well. But, you know, Cruiserweight has called in and run down the lineup in the past. You know, on the right, you could see from number 50 to 31. And then if you look here, let me pull this up. Hang on a second. Okay, me disappearing is not a good thing. Hang on a second. There is your 50 to 31. Now we'll take this out, and there you go. There is number 30 to 11. For those that aren't aware, WWE released the final five, the top five, who they feel are the greatest tag teams in WWE history. Not WCW, not AWA, not NWA, not ECW. WWE. They chose number five to be the Dudleys, number four, Edge and Christian, number three, the Hart Foundation, number two, Derek Jeter, number two, the Hardy Boys, and number one, the New Day. This is spanning about 50 years of tag team wrestling. The New Day ranked number one. Now, I give you my opinions, even though they might seem a little bit harsh at times. I had no problem with the New Day being in the top five. In my honest opinion, there is one reason and one reason only as to why I would have never put the New Day as number one. Freebird rule. You have three tag team partners instead of two. And when one is kind of in a lull, we could put the other two in. When one person may, you know, be on a little bit of a losing streak or the fans are not connected, we put the other two in. You know, when you have three people teaming up and you only choose two for almost everybody else, that's unfair, in my honest opinion. If it was just Xavier Woods and Kofi, okay. All right, no arguments that much. Big E and Kofi, Big E and Xavier, fine. But why not have a tag team with four members in it? Seriously, only two fight at any time. Could put DX, greatest tag team of all time. No, but that was a faction. To me, the New Day was more of a faction than anything else because you had three guys. Yes, they held tag team championships. But I personally feel when everybody else on this list, for the most part, is two people and somebody's three, that's a handicap. That's a handicap. You know, if I brought it up yesterday with tennis, you look at duos in tennis over the years, and I said pick any duo. A lot of people said the Williams sisters. I know the Williams sisters have teamed up a little bit, but I don't know as far as duos tennis, they're considered the greatest of all time. And if you want to choose them, fine. But if the Williams sisters were three, I wouldn't choose them as number one. I think that's a little bit unfair when you have three members of New Day and everybody else has two. That's just my opinion. I would have put the New Day in the top five. I have no problem with it. Now, I'll say something else. The Hart Foundation, above the Dudleys, above Edge and Christian, I personally think that the reason why the Hart Foundation was so high on this list was because of Natty and the love for Jim the Anvil. There is a lot of love still for Bret the Hitman Hart, but all I know is that when I go back as a kid, and I remember the Hart Foundation in the late 80s especially, you know, they were a tag team, and they were damn good, and they were champions, all right? But eventually, Bret the Hitman Hart broke out and became Intercontinental Champion and became Heavyweight Champion. And the Hart Foundation as a whole, looking at 50 years of tag team wrestling, I don't know if I would have put them at number three. Look at The Shield. The Shield is ranked, I'm looking at the list, hold on. The Shield is ranked number 22. You know, for all those years that people thought that Jason Solomonster and I did not like each other, all right, for those that don't know where that came from, it came from because of an opinion that I expressed many years ago. Many years ago, when The Shield was at the peak as a trio, I think Jason on his show had said that he thought The Shield were a better faction in history than drawing a blank. What was the group? It was oh my God. Somebody remembers Jimmy Jam Garvin, Michael P.S. Hayes, the Freebirds. I've been nuts since 7 o'clock today. The Freebirds. And, you know, when I heard that, I went on one of my episodes and I said, that's ridiculous in my opinion. You look at the Sportatorium and how the Freebirds sold out crazy shit. Look at the Freebirds versus the Von Erichs by itself. There's no way, in my opinion, there's no way that the Freebirds are less valued and the Shield are better. The Shield were good, don't get me wrong. But to put the Shield above the Freebirds, I thought was wrong. Now, we just have opinions, okay? Some people agree with me, some people disagree with me. That's where it came from. But here's where I'm going with this. It wasn't too long ago that WWE did a top list as far as factions. You remember where the Shield was ranked on that list? Now, all of a sudden, they're ranked number 22. Not even in the top 10. What the fuck happened? What happened? Roman Reigns has gone further than he did at the time that list came out. Seth Rollins has gone further. And, you know, Dean Ambrose obviously has gone out of the company. But do you know why the Shield was ranked all the way down to 22? Have you all figured it out yet? Because when you look back at the annals of history, WWE wants you to remember Roman Reigns as a singles wrestler, as one of the greatest champions of our era, one of the greatest superstars of our era. By them putting the Shield all the way down that list, that diminishes the value of the Shield. And that's why right before this list came out, Roman Reigns did an interview. I don't know who he did the interview. I don't remember who he did the interview with, but in the last day or two. And he said he has no interest in reforming the Shield if he ever had the opportunity. He talks about him being singles. That's deliberate. Even if Moxley ended up back in WWE, they took the Shield, which not too long ago WWE thought was the greatest faction, and now they're all the way down to number 22. Why? Why? Because the lower it goes, the more you look at Roman Reigns, well, you know, singles star. Roman Reigns, truly. I mean, he was great in the Shield, but singles, that's why they did it. That's why they did it. I'll talk about this more on Monday with Mish. And like I said, you'll be more, you're invited to call in. I'd be more than happy to hear your opinions on it. And if anybody feels that the Shield should be number one, I totally respect that. I understand why WWE did it, but I just feel when you have three guys and you can have your best three, you know, I mean, just picture you're playing in a sports league, all right, and one team only has nine players, so they can't mix and match. They only have nine players, but everybody else has extra players, so if one's playing like shit, we could sub them out and put someone else in its place. I think that's a little bit unfair. It should be an even playing field. Aren't we supposed to be about even playing fields? About everything in life? Harris says, where's the Curt Hawkins and Tyler Rex? I don't think so. So, some other news that I got while... The hell? Oh. I was hearing weird noises. It was my bubbles from my seltzer water. Some news that came in while I was in Thunderdome tonight. We have more NXT stars working dark matches on SmackDown. Tonight, Toni Storm, Karrion Kross, Shotzi Blackheart, they all wrestled tonight in dark matches. Karrion Kross took on Cesaro, believe it or not. And Shotzi Blackheart took on Toni Storm. Now, we had Bronson Reed just lose the NXT North American Championship. And as we discussed on Wednesday, I think Bronson Reed is on his way to SmackDown. It's starting to look more and more that Shotzi Blackheart may be on her way to SmackDown as well. I think Shotzi Blackheart, oh boy, good compliment to the roster. My only concern is when you look at the women that are on Raw and the women that are on SmackDown, how is she going to leapfrog all those women? I don't want Shotzi Blackheart to be like one of these underdogs that the fans absolutely love and root for, but in the end, you know, either gets loss after loss after loss or gets bullshit wins. Fruit roll-up, distraction, fruit roll-up, distraction. So, Toni Storm, I think Toni Storm be best on Raw. I'd like to see Toni Storm on Raw. And you know, that'd be really interesting as well. Karrion Kross taking on Cesaro tonight. Interesting. Interesting. But keep in mind, Shotzi Blackheart, this is her second dark match. She took on Scarlett not too long ago. Oh, and by the way, I know when I wrote this on Twitter last week, you know, some people didn't get the subliminal message why I wrote it, but I posted it today. They arrived. I got it earlier today. And as we discussed yesterday, you remember about 8 or 9 days ago, Karrion Kross and Scarlett, WWE had on their auction site that they were going to auction off the first ever autographs by either one of them on a wrestling figure. And I joked 9 days ago, because when Karrion Kross promoted it, I said, everyone, under no circumstances, do not bid on it. Do not bid on it. Please do not bid on it, because I wanted to win it. So it came down to crunch time, and, you know, when I want something, I try to go out and do it or get it every time. But then I had a little dilemma. I looked at Karrion Kross's figure, and then Scarlett has got her number one first time ever also, and they're a couple. And I'm saying, like, you know, it would be kind of a shame to have one figure here and then the other one in blah, blah, blah stand. Someone else wins it elsewhere. So I gave it a shot, and I ended up getting both, and they arrived today. They are in the casa. They are here. First ever autographs by both of them. Now, I will tell you two things. Number one, I'm going to probably offer these to them. Yes, they are grown adults, and they probably don't collect wrestling figures, but they may want in their own private collection their first ever autograph as far as a wrestling figure goes. So I'm going to probably offer it to them for nothing. If they accept it, it'll be a tax write-off for yours truly. But I will say this, and I was very tempted to show you tonight, but I don't know. I had second thoughts about it. The Scarlett figure that arrived, the packaging, terrible shape. The corners of the cardboard, bent, dinged. The plastic storage container that he put it in, whoever stored it, and I really was tempted to show you live tonight. Maybe Monday I'll show it to you. But whoever put it in the protective case, you know, when you put like a square peg in a round hole, no matter how many times you jam it in there, it ain't going through. And whoever it is obviously had the wrong size case, and they tried to shove it and shove it and shove it. Every corner of the figure is creased. And I don't want to complain to WWE. I mean, it's more of the, you know, the fact that it's, you know, first ever. But I got this today. I'm like, it's awful. It's awful. So maybe Monday I'll show you all. But for now, you know, it's inside. I got them. So pretty cool. Pretty cool. I was glad. I was very lucky to get them because some prick out there kept outbidding me. And I'm like, motherfucker, when are you going to stop? You know, and I almost stopped a couple of times, and I'm like, $5 more. And luckily, that last $5 did it. So, by the way, for my YouTube channel members out there, I put another retro episode up today. This was June 2008. This was the week where Nick Hogan was in jail. Hulk Hogan showed up and got caught on the prison tape saying that what happened to John Graziano was God's will. And Ultimate Warrior this week, well, June of 2008, thought it was time to troll the Hogan family. So that episode is up there, complete with Ultimate Warrior trolling Hulk Hogan and Nick and Brooke. If Hulk is going to oil anybody's ass, it should be Nick's ass. It's up there right now, so. Anyway, what else could we talk about today? Oh, I revealed the AEW rating yesterday. 883,000. Exactly what we thought it was going to be on Wednesday. Remember the last couple of weeks? They'll go right back to between 800,000 and 900,000 viewers. It's back to Wednesdays. You know, all these people that were saying, oh, we're concerned. All the viewers they lost on Friday and Saturday night, they may not get them back. These people are smoking. The wrestling fans just decided on Wednesday they were just going to go watch Home Shopping Network instead. But I tell you one pretty interesting thing. I didn't have time today to get the quarter hour ratings from this past Wednesday's Dynamite. But I was very curious to get the quarter hour ratings from last Saturday's Dynamite. We did the watch along. And do you know last Saturday's Dynamite? Because remember, there was a lot of playoffs on TV. So people were like, oh my God, the ratings, you know, the NBA playoffs. Do you know every quarter that AEW had last Saturday, every quarter the rating went up? I kid you not. Now, I'm not going to read you all the matches, but just to show you the eight quarters from 8 to 10 p.m. last Saturday, these are what the ratings were. Quarter one, 601,000. Quarter two, quarter one, 561. Quarter two, 568. Quarter three, 584. Quarter four, 602. Quarter five, 616. Quarter six, 696. Quarter seven, 737. Quarter eight, 793. It's not bad. Every quarter. I know, don't knock the Home Shopping Network. Believe me, I bought so much shit from the Home Shopping Network back in the day. Never bought anything from Maven, though. Was Maven on Home Shopping, or was that QVC? Maven. Anthony Alston, I've talked about this before. My thoughts of Rob Black bringing XPW back. I don't see it. I mean, bringing it back as far as a belt in a different promotion, you know, why? Because Nick Gage is all beloved now with Dark Side of the Ring, and I have no problem with Nick Gage. That's a success story. Someone who hit rock bottom and turned his life around. But honestly, I mean, it's more of just like, you know, let's, you know, bring it back for nostalgic purposes. But seriously, I mean, it can't be what it was before. Look at these promotions out there. Impact Wrestling can't even get 150,000 viewers. NWA, they can't even get 1,000 pay-per-view buys. They're charging for every single week you watch NWA programming. They're charging you money because, you know, they don't have that nest egg, and there's no way Billy Corgan is going into the guitar fund and lay out a bunch of boatload of money and give everybody free programming. You know, you look at some of these other promotions, you know, and rightfully so, they just went through 17 months of pandemic. It's going to take a couple of years for some of these promotions to really get back financially. There's no magic, you know, snap in the fingers. You know, they're not going to get these great 2% COVID loans. You know, they're just not. And they got to recover that money somewhere. What are you going to do? Charge $40 for a shirt? They're going to charge an extra $10 a ticket? We don't know. But as far as Rob Black, why would you bring them back now? Why? So you could fight over which promotion gets 200 fans at a show? So, and you know me, I actually got to work for XPW behind the scenes. I'd love to see it come back. I'd love to help if I could. I'd work for a promotion. I would work for any promotion if it was part-time. And it was something in it for me, obviously. I don't do nothing for nothing no more. Other than, you know, for all of you out there. And that's legit. You know, for everybody else, you want my time, you got to pay for it. At my age, you know, the days of me doing all this stuff for others is over. It's over. But I would love to work for a promotion again. But let's be a little realistic. I don't know if, you know, just because, like I said, Nick Gage, you know, has got a little momentum right now. And you could tell right away, because when it was teased that XPW could possibly return in some form, Nick Gage's name was the first on the list. So obviously people think they could ride the Nick Gage momentum. when you show me Nick Gage main eventing a wrestling event that has 1,000 people or 800 people, more, you know, then I'll listen. But when they do it and there's only two rows of fans, you know, it's got to be more than that, in my opinion. In my opinion, there is no magic pill cycle. You're right. I'd love to see things come. I'm a nostalgic buff. Everybody knows that. You know, I like nostalgia. You know, it obviously can't be overdone, but I like nostalgia. You know, when it's done in less, I can't even say moderation, less than that. But you also got to be a little bit smart about it, too. You know, anybody could make anything sound good, especially in 320 characters. But, you know, once, look at what I said before about unions and independent contracts and all of that. So many people thought they were writing the most wonderful tweet, you know, that it was like, oh, we need to all get together. And talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Actions speak louder than words. So, anyway. So we got those dark matches tonight. You know, this is 2 weeks in a row now that you have people like Cross and others. Now, did you notice something tonight? I don't know if you all caught it. There was something Zelina Vega said tonight when she came out and cut a promo. Did you hear what she said if she won the briefcase? Did you hear it? NXT is back in play. NXT, just because Karrion Kross is getting dark matches and some people think that he could get promoted to the main roster, he might wrestle on the main roster as the NXT champion. We've had WWE in the past have other championship titles defended on their shows. You think of Smoky Mountain? You think of NWA? You even had, didn't Taz, well, he didn't defend the ECW title, but NXT, to mix it up a little bit, this is Nick Khan. This is the Nick Khan factor. I don't know if anybody really is paying close attention to this. The one thing about Nick Khan that you really need to focus on is that Nick Khan is looking about at everything in WWE, whether it's their production department, whether it's their offices, whether it's the wrestlers, every department in WWE. And Nick Khan is saying, why do we need all these extra people in all these departments? We're in 2021. People could multitask. It's a lot easier to do things with computers. I was thinking about it the other day, and I kind of mentioned it. You know, when I do these shows now, right now, I have the YouTube, you know, the background program going and the chat room. I'm looking at it over here. Over here, I have my browser open. I have my super chat menu open. I have the chat room open for the other platforms out there that take in the shows. Over here, I have my audio recording program going. Plus, I have my Rodecaster Pro mixer going. That's recording too. Over here, I have my video programming going, you know, where I could put stuff on the screen and transmit things to you. I got six things going at the same time. And for the most part, I can navigate this. If this was 10 years ago, my head would have exploded. Because it's not that I couldn't handle it. It's just technology at that time. You know, you load something, you may have to wait 15 seconds for it to load. It was not that long ago that, you know, you want to go on a porn site and check out some naked chick's body, and you click the link, and you see the eyes, the nose, the chin, the waistline, the stomach. But then it took like some extra seconds for the rest of the page to load. Like, I don't want to see just chin and belly button. Fill it in. So, on the wrestler's side, why can't NXT wrestlers work main event? Why do we need a whole separate group of people for 205 Live? Why do we need this? That's what's happening. WWE's not in financial trouble. WWE, there's nothing about selling the company right now. Like I said, until you see the financial outlets out there that are non-wrestling, when you see the financial world start saying, you know, WWE may be setting themselves up for a sale, until you see that, ignore WrestlingFables.com that writes that. These are people that are just like, they don't understand why people are being released, why things, oh, well, they made record profits. Oh, they're going to sell a company. Sounds great. They don't know. So what's happening now with the NXT involvement, dark matches, main event, and possibly Raw and SmackDown, this is the work of Nick Khan. It ain't the work of Triple H. Obviously, he's part of it. But if that was the case, we would have saw this for years. Why now? Why now? This is all Nick Khan's fingers on it. And I like it. I like it. There's no reason why you have a stacked NXT roster and you don't use someone for 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks. And because you don't use it, they can't work in a main event match here and there. They can't work a 205 live match. That's ridiculous. By the way, just off topic, because I forgot to say it Wednesday. God awful, this storyline with Dexter Lumis and Indy Hartwell. I just look at what has happened every week. It is turned into one of the most horrible storylines, the dopiest storylines in recent memory. And you know what'll happen. They'll probably just bump into each other in the back, may have a kiss, and then we're supposed to forget about all the dopey shit that has led up to it. Let's talk a little bit about SmackDown. Then we could start wrapping up tonight's show, because believe it or not, we've already gone 48 minutes. And, you know, there's no reason why we have to really, you know, get into a monster show today. Like I said, Monday, I will be here with Mish, and we will have a lot of great convo, and we'll definitely talk a little bit about, like I said, that list with the tag teams and Raw and other things. You know, we'll talk, you know, probably Money in the Bank as well, all the updates. Before I do that, your title? What the hell is your title? Let me fix this. Like I said, I literally had to rush in here. Your title. I'll fix that. My apologies. My apologies. This is what happens. Like I said, I didn't have any time to get anything ready tonight. There we go. Have a great 4th. All the best to you. I sent your package out today. It's going to arrive either tomorrow or Monday. So I hope you like what you get. Crazy Cruiserweight. You know, much love to you as well. He's the one that, you know, offered up his prize from 2 weeks ago. I added a couple extra things in there. I just hope, you know, one thing I gave you, nothing smeared. But let me know as soon as you get it. And congrats again. By the way, everyone, you know, there's a little controversy from yesterday's contest. And honestly, I try to do contests where you don't have to be exactly precise. If we know what you're talking about, especially when you're typing fast, you know, I let it go. So yesterday we did that contest to give away that autographed Luke Harper, Brody Lee, John Huber card, God rest his soul. And it's a valuable card. Some people did look on eBay and saw that card's at least $200 if you put it on eBay right now. And yesterday I did kind of like a Scrabble or Hangman contest where I had a bunch of wrestlers' names and one by one I added letters and you had to guess what they were, but it flowed. Every name flowed into the next. And yesterday it was Rated RK Brody Lee Marshall Von Erich. See how smooth it goes? Rated RK Brody Lee Marshall Von Erich. They're all tied together. And a lot of people wrote Rated RKO, not RK Bro. And I gave it to Steak and Eggs because he was the first one that did it. Well, I got DM'd yesterday from about 15 people. Hey, man, I wrote RK Bro, He wrote RKO. I should have won it. Now, the first person that responded to me right after I did the show, I said, look, I'll check it back. If that's the case, I got another card, signed card. I'll give it to you. Then the next thing I know, I get between yesterday and to this morning, 13 more messages from people. Yo. So I'm not upset in any way, but I think from now on, the answers have to be perfect. Because if I let a little slide, you know, some people are not thrilled with it. So, but it's all good. But, you know, we got to be precise from now on. But look, I'll tell you one thing, though. Everybody loved the contest. It was a little confusing at first, but in the end, everybody was like, oh, that was pretty fucking cool. So it's all good, man. It's all good. But much love to you again, AS7607. Let me know when you get that package, please. King of Games 405, my thoughts of the video WWE put up of John Cena's 10 greatest rivals. I have not seen it yet, but I did see they had, I think, Edge and Randy Orton. I saw the graphic, but I have not watched it yet. But, you know, I think this is just to get John Cena's name, you know, back in discussion with a lot of fans. But, yeah, if anybody, don't super chat this, everyone, but Games, you know, I'm looking at the chat right now. If you have the list of 10, you know, I'd like to know the list. I mean, I don't know if Bray Wyatt should be on that list, if you really think about it. I could see maybe, but there's obviously, you know, some that come to mind almost immediately. I think his greatest rival, either Randy Orton or Edge, kind of almost feel like Edge. I'm sure Seth Rollins is on that list. Jan, by the way, congrats to Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. They apparently got married a couple of days ago. And Seth Rollins, I don't know if that was a pre-recorded segment tonight. Maybe they're on their honeymoon. Maybe not. But, you know, regardless, next week, we're getting the match that everybody wanted to see for like the fourth or fifth time in how many months? We're getting Seth Rollins versus Cesaro again, and the winner gets a spot in the Money in the Bank ladder match. Sam says his first, Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle versus Cena is good. I think JBL should be on there too. I kind of like Edge's rivalry with Cena the most, believe it or not. That was my favorite back in the day. JBL's, you know, I wouldn't have a problem if JBL was considered his greatest rivalry, but I don't think they would go that route. I think they would probably go with Randy Orton or Edge. I would lean towards Edge. I'm looking, okay. Some people are posting their own list. That's not bad. Michael Gonzalez has got Edge, Orton, Punk. Punk is a great, oh yeah, Punk has got to be on that list. Brock Lesnar should be on that list. Kurt Angle definitely should be on that list. The Rock, absolutely. Triple H, yeah. Shawn Michaels, yeah, maybe. AJ Styles, excellent matches, man. You know, I don't know if I would put him as a greatest rivalry, but they had a memorable rivalry, man. CM Punk is not on that list. Not surprised. Everybody thinks that CM Punk is on good graces with WWE again because he appears once in a while in the Fox thing. I don't think so. I think WWE is not interested in anybody who could rock, you know, the boat right now as far as, you know, talking and, you know, let me put it this way. May have been great on Raw 10 years ago, but I don't think WWE wants to risk CM Punk cutting a pipe bomb on social media about certain things. You know what I mean? I would love to see CM Punk back on TV, whether it's WWE, Ring of Honor, NWA, AEW. I would love to see it. But, you know, the years go by. He could still do it. I mean, let me put it this way. This earlier, when I told you that I posted this retro episode today, you know, that is 13 years ago. And do you know that week was AJ Styles' 30th birthday? That means AJ Styles now is 43 years old. So he could still damn go pretty damn good. And, you know, these days 40 is the new 30. And I think AJ Styles, why can't he wrestle till he's 50? Do you feel AJ Styles, when used in moderation, you think that he only has like a couple of years left? That guy could probably go to 50. Randy Orton, I think, wants to go to 50. So there's no reason why CM Punk can't do it. It's just the attitude, you know. And the thing is, CM Punk is not a dumb person. CM Punk, if he lands a tremendous deal with a promotion, you know, he's a smart businessman. He ain't going to jeopardize a contract, a large contract, so he could complain and whine a little bit. But still, nonetheless, you know, I think some companies out there are a little resistant, you know, because of, you know, how outspoken he is. You know, just because he goes to a promotion that may not like WWE all that much, you know, then it doesn't mean that, oh, because he's working for a promotion that doesn't like WWE, that, no, he'll be on our side. He's a very unpredictable person. So, Sam says he may be on Thunderdome Monday. I will be on Thunderdome Monday as well. I mentioned it on Twitter earlier. I don't have the photo here right now, but check this out. And I have the stuff inside. If anybody doesn't believe me, I'll show you Monday. Monday, this past Monday, I had mentioned with Mish that today, Friday, I was going to be on Thunderdome. And I said, next week I'm going on vacation. So a little programming note, there will be no show next Thursday or Friday. I will be out of New York. I will be leaving early, early Thursday morning. I'll be coming back Monday morning. Next Wednesday, instead of your usual 10.05 p.m. Wednesday night Dynamite, next Wednesday for 1 week only, I'm going to start at 8 o'clock, and it's going to be a live watch-along of AEW Dynamite. That's going to be interesting because this will be the first watch-along on a Wednesday night where obviously they have amped up the quality of their content. So I think we'll probably have a ball doing that. And the only reason why I'm doing a live watch-along next Wednesday is so I could go to sleep early. Thursday morning, I'm going to be on the road at 9 o'clock in the morning. Yours truly needs more than 2 hours sleep. You know, those days are almost gone for me. So anyway, on Monday I said that I was going to be on Thunderdome tonight, and I was a little bummed that next week is the last week for Thunderdome. And I said, you know, I would love to do it. And if you remember on Monday, a lot of people were asking, how was it possible that behind the announcer's table, there was a whole row of fans wearing Raw shirts? And people actually thought that they were like all the same family. Yeah, they all got a same row assigned to Thunderdome. What Thunderdome does with their producers, and you saw it with me tonight, Papo Jr. and a few others early on saw that I was all the way on the top row in the boondocks at the beginning of SmackDown tonight. What they do is they monitor the screens, number one, to make sure that nobody's wearing like AEW shit. They also monitor to make sure that nobody's goofing around and doing something they're not supposed to. But they also look to see who is lively, having fun, animated, things like that. And when they see certain people, they move them to other areas to be visible. That's what happened with me halfway into the show. When it comes to Raw, what they do is when they see fans wearing the red Raw shirt, they move them from wherever they were originally designated and they put them on the right behind the announcer's table. So every time they flashed the announcers for Raw, you would see this row of fans wearing Raw red shirts. So I said, you know, too bad that I wasn't going to be on Thunderdome Monday, and too bad I don't have a red Raw shirt. I thought it would be funny to have Deli Man behind the announcers table wearing a deli outfit with a red Raw shirt. Well, yesterday I get an invite for Monday's Thunderdome, which I accepted. And then today FedEx rings my doorbell. I wasn't expecting anything. I get the thing, and it's from WWE. And yes, you know, I got the figures today, but that was UPS. I open it up, and it's a red Raw shirt. So somebody was tuning in to the show Monday, and when they heard me say that too bad I don't have a red Raw shirt, I would do Deli Man wearing the red Raw shirt, and I put the apron over it. They shipped me a Raw shirt today. I got it today. I didn't ask for it either, which was pretty freaking cool. I got a free gift, finally. I got a free gift. I should have asked for this a couple of months ago. So, yeah, so you'll see me on Thunderdome on Monday as well. And I'm going to go balls out. You know, tonight I had the hat on and everything. But let's talk about SmackDown. Oh, here's the official list. Thank you, Lee. Let me give you the list with Cena, then we'll talk SmackDown, and then we'll get out of here for the weekend. By the way, happy 4th of July to everyone who celebrates. Much love. You know, spend it with the people that you care about, the people you love, friends, family. You know, try to relax, have a good time. Here in New York, you know, it's going to suck kind of because tomorrow it's only going to be 67 degrees. Sunday it's going to be almost 80. But by the time the fireworks go off in front of my house, it's probably going to be in the 60s. But I am going to live stream Sunday night from my house. I did it a couple of years ago on Twitter, and the video quality was awful. So on Sunday, that's why if you haven't subscribed to my channel, subscribe. And make sure you click the notifications, because at my house, you will see what it's like to see the fireworks display on the beach. I'm going to be sitting at my house, and you'll see this giant fireworks display literally within 10 feet of me. So people loved it a couple of years ago, and you'll get to see, you know, probably get a little cameos from my family. You'll see some other people. You know, I know a couple of years ago people were eyeing some of the hot chicks that were in front of my house because it is by the beach, and some people were dressed to kill. So Sunday night, as far as the time people are asking, I would say around 9 p.m., give or take a little bit. You know, the sun has to go down first, which is close to 9. And then I would say somewhere between 9 and 9:30 it should start. And I'll probably stream for about an hour, hour and a half. I don't know how long the iPhone battery will go. I'm going to have to stream from my iPhone. So this way I can move around and navigate and shit. So, but, okay, thank you, Lee. This is the list. Cena's greatest rivals. Number 10, The Miz. We didn't even think of The Miz. That's a good one. Number 9, JBL. I think that's low on the list. Number 8, Kurt Angle. Number 7, AJ Styles. Number 6, Triple H. Number 5, Brock Lesnar. Number 4, The Rock. Number 3, Batista. That was a damn good one. Number 2, Edge. And number 1, Randy Orton. Okay. Personally, you know what I would have done? I would have just put the 10 and just put them in no particular order. Let fans debate, you know, who they feel are the number one. Because I personally, right away, I think of JBL. I think JBL was the one that really started to get Cena on the map. We were talking about it yesterday, ironically, when Cena got bloodied up in that match against JBL. You know, I think that was a little bit of a turning point for Cena at that time. So I think they kind of underestimated. You know what I would have even considered putting on this list? Eddie Guerrero or Jericho. Why isn't Jericho on this list? Didn't they have that feud? Remember Fozzy was going to perform, and then John Cena did the rap, you know, with Bumpy Knuckles. Bumpy Knuckles. I love that fucking name. Seriously. I just, Bumpy Knuckles. Remember they were going to do that? Fozzy versus John Cena? They didn't do that, though. Yeah. No Eddie on the list. No Jericho on the list. Kurt is a little low on that list, too. You know, I mean, Kurt, I think, had some better rivalries with others. But, you know, you really can't have too much of a problem with that list. You know, but it just sucks. You know that they left Jericho out for obvious reasons. The Nexus feud was not long enough. You know, Wade Barrett, I don't know if I would put that in the top 10. You know, as far, you know, you don't want to just put people on the list simply because John Cena had a feud at some point, you know. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about SmackDown tonight. So I didn't take that much as far as notes, because this is something I think a lot of people don't understand. Okay. I'm sorry for my audio only friends out there. Yes, my hair is all screwed up today. But I want to show you something. Okay? Let me show you something. Let me show you something. Okay. You see this? All right. You get the salami. Maybe that'll be the thumbnail for tonight. Here's the problem with Thunderdome, and here's the problem preparing for a show. This is kind of like Mick Foley back in the day. I got no ears to have the glasses sit. See, you like this, and I'm sorry. I can't do Thunderdome like this. Because the minute I go like this, my glasses fly right off. Oh, God, it smells. I had this on for 3 hours earlier. That's going in the wash tomorrow. Like my hair? That's the problem when you do Thunderdome. I can't take notes because I can't see nothing. Like, I could see the screen, but I can't, like, type. I can't see nothing. So, thank you, Courtney. Shout out to everybody. By the way, if you don't mind, especially since you got a little cameo appearance from Deli Man tonight, if you're enjoying the show, like, share, subscribe. Spend a moment. Hit that thumbs up. The more you do it, the more that sends YouTube the message that you're enjoying the show. I would greatly appreciate it. So I didn't get a chance to take notes tonight. But I watched SmackDown, obviously. Edge's opening promo, talking about returning and talking about how fitting it would have been on a 10-year anniversary if he would have become heavyweight champion. You know, recapping everything that Daniel Bryan ruined his opportunity, and they showed in the Titantron that infamous pose where Roman Reigns, you know, looked like he was getting ready to tap out from Edge. And then what, he didn't win the title at WrestleMania, and he took time off to think about everything. And I tell you, I was a little bit disappointed that Edge didn't talk about the shirt. Because we talked about that last week as far as the meaning of the shirt. It would have been great if he kind of went, you know, in that path. You know, it felt like, you know, Roman Reigns, tribal chief, head of the table, that he is the leader of WWE. I kind of wish Edge would have got into that a little bit more, because it's not just wanting to become heavyweight champion. But it's the climate with Roman Reigns being the tribal chief, the leader of SmackDown and the champion. And they didn't touch on that. When Seth Rollins causes Edge the victory at Money in the Bank, and if it leads to Rollins versus Edge at SummerSlam, that shirt could apply for Seth Rollins as well. Seth Rollins, you know, thinking he's a messiah. Why come out with a shirt like that and not even incorporate it? And yes, I agree with you, KD. The head of the table stuff gets a little bit old, you know. I mean, you know, it is what it is, but it's hard to complain about anything Roman Reigns is doing right now. I mean, Roman Reigns, you know, top star in WWE. I think anybody would disagree with that. I mean, as far as everybody and their character, I think he's obviously the elite right now. But thank you, AS7607. It just came in that Kevin Nash will be the next guest at Steve Austin's Broken Skull Sessions. That'll be fun. I totally disagree with Kevin Nash's... Well, I don't totally disagree, but I disagree with some of his political views. Doesn't take away how I feel about him and my enjoyment watching him throughout the years in wrestling. So I could separate the two. My God, Mick Foley. Mick Foley. I mean, when we have 20,000 subscribers and we do that party, you know, I may actually ask him to come on for a little bit. I may actually break my streak and do an interview. Mick Foley and my political views are very different. Doesn't change how I feel about the guy. You know, the guy's fucking awesome. So I try to separate it. Big T says, with the amount of loyal subscribers, I got to venture into merchandising even more than we do. And we need Don Tony and Deli Man bobbleheads and T-shirts. Well, we do have bobbleheads. I just don't have them up for sale. Bobblehead. Complete with cigar. You know? They're not cheap. I mean, I could have more made up. I only have about like five left. I got to make a bunch up. I just don't know if anybody really would want to buy them. Those are ceramic. They're not plastic. I mean, the cheapest I probably could have them made up for is probably like $35 or $40 a piece. I don't know how many people really want to spend that, but we're working on stuff. I definitely want to do a bobblehead with Mish. I would love to do a bobblehead with Mish. The only problem is if it's like true to size, I mean, I'm going to look like a midget. I mean, seriously, this is going to be Mish's bobblehead. This is going to be mine. So Edge cutting his promo and talking about this opportunity to take on Roman Reigns, and Edge believes that he truly has Roman Reigns' number. We saw some highlights from last week, and I tell you, I got to be honest with you. You've heard me say this for at least 7 months, maybe longer, that the one thing, if there's anything to critique about Roman Reigns' championship run so far, is that every person he has feuded with, it never felt like that person was a threat to take the title. Never felt it with Jey Uso, never felt it with Kevin Owens, did not feel it with Daniel Bryan, especially once they put him in the mix with Edge, did not feel it at all. Do I think right now that Edge is going to take the title from Roman Reigns? No, I don't feel that. But as far as storyline goes, this is the first time where everything that's said, you know, as far as he may have Roman Reigns' number, you know, kind of fits in. It fits in nicely. So if there's any, and you'd be surprised, there are a lot of people out there that when he feuded with Jey Uso, there was a decent amount of people out there that are like, you know, I think Jey Uso could take it. You know, I think Kevin Owens may be able to take it. I think Daniel Bryan's going to get one last run. There was enough people out there that thought that. So could you imagine now with this? This is probably the most solid opponent storyline-wise. And it's better now to go up against Edge than WrestleMania. Edge did win the Royal Rumble. But at that time, with the first event back with live fans, you know what I've said, that Roman Reigns needs to keep that belt for an extended period of time, especially with the return to live fans. You want live fans paying to see somebody whip his ass, try to take the title off of him. And it's also going to be interesting to see how many people out there are so into Roman Reigns' badass character that they may actually cheer the guy. You know, Big E, it's still a wild card because now there's a lot of talk that Big E may go to Raw and take on Bobby Lashley. If that happens, Roman Reigns could very well be champion going into WrestleMania of next year. And you know what? If I put a poll up on YouTube, and maybe I'll even do it tonight. Actually, I will do it tonight before I go to sleep. I'm going to put it in the community section. And all I'm going to ask is, if Roman Reigns, if you found out that Roman Reigns was going to keep the title until WrestleMania 2022, would you have a problem with that? Something tells me overwhelmingly people are going to say, I have no problem with that whatsoever. And you want to know something? As much as we didn't like Roman Reigns for all of those years, if you truly right now say, I have no problem if Roman Reigns keeps that belt until Mania, you know, sure, you could look at it like, well, you know, the title scene sucks so bad that, you know, who's going to really take it from him? If, especially if Big E goes to Raw and, you know, challenges Lashley. But if you actually don't have a problem with Roman Reigns keeping that title to Mania, you got to give the guy credit. You got to give him credit because it's not very often in recent history that people were completely fine with someone keeping a belt for a year, year and a half, 2 years. CM Punk at the time, I thought a lot of people enjoyed his 400-plus run as heavyweight champion. I don't remember, you know, I was doing shows at that time. I don't remember many people who were like, oh, get the title off of CM Punk already. I don't really remember that much at all. This, it's a little bit different, though. Yeah, Mike, I think Drew McIntyre could very well get drafted to SmackDown. And I'm going to jump back and forth a little bit tonight talking about SmackDown because I want to segue into something else now. At Money in the Bank, we're going to have Bianca Belair again take on Bayley, but it's going to be an I Quit match. We haven't had an I Quit match in like 7 years. I know a lot of us feel it's time to move on from that feud. It feels kind of ass backwards when you think about it. Once they did Hell in a Cell, that should have been the end of it. But they are going to have another match. But I will say this. I was a little confused because Bayley tonight, when she was criticizing Bianca Belair, you know, Bayley was teasing like, if I lose, I'll quit SmackDown. Then, you know, basically they went further like, oh, if I lose, I'll even consider quitting wrestling, you know, performing, period. But for a few moments, it felt like that might be some type of a stipulation, that if she loses, you know, then she's off SmackDown. And I definitely do not think Bayley should go to Raw right now. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, Bayley talking about how she is in the head of Bianca Belair. And I'm just glad we didn't get more of that bullying stuff. Bullying is a very serious issue, no question. But we need a little character development on Bianca Belair, please. And when Bianca was laughing, and I couldn't even tell she was like, I almost thought she was crying at some point. She's not very good at fake laughing. But she says to Bayley tonight that she was turned on with the idea that Bayley is going to say, I quit. I don't know. It just, I like the idea of the I quit match, but we just had Hell in a Cell. To me, anything is a step down, but Sasha Banks is still not back. And it feels like they are intentionally waiting for the live fans. Because look, the live fans, what, 2 weeks? 2 weeks, live fans. So they're probably waiting for live fans, for Sasha Banks to make the return. They want to have as many surprise pops as possible. Becky Lynch will get one. Sasha Banks will get one. Who knows who else will get one? Zelina Vega did not get one today. I will tell you, doing Thunderdome, it was a little weird because I don't know who hosted Thunderdome tonight. It was not a WWE wrestler. It was not Ted DiBiase tonight. I don't know who it was. But when Zelina Vega came out and she made her return, actually, the guy told us to cheer. Told us to cheer. And when Liv Morgan came out, and by the way, for those who are tuning in a little bit late today, check out the right side of your screen. Yeah, I just thought that was pretty funny. I was going like this. I was going like this. Couldn't see my face, though. But they were telling us to cheer Zelina Vega. And then Zelina Vega, like, insulting Sonya Deville. And I'm like, why are we cheering her? I don't even think the guy realized. And then Liv Morgan comes out. Liv Morgan is complaining. And you saw a lot of people in Thunderdome going like this. And I know a lot of you out there are probably like, wait a minute, why are they like giving thumbs down to Liv Morgan? Well, that's why. Because in our ear, we were told to give some thumbs up to Zelina Vega. So when Liv Morgan came out and did what she did, people didn't know how to react. So that was a little confusing. That was a little bit confusing. But Zelina Vega, like I said, looked great. No reason for me to add anything of what I said before. But she comes out and she's announced to be in the Money in the Bank ladder match. And by the, you know, process of elimination, if Sonya was not announcing her, the only other person she could have announced was Sasha Banks. And it was a dramatic pause. I thought they were possibly going to do Sasha Banks, and it was Zelina Vega. So Liv Morgan comes out. Yeah, and that's when I was doing my little, like, dancing stuff and everything. And Liv Morgan is pissed off, and she's like, I'm here every single week. Zelina Vega didn't wrestle at all this year. Why is she getting an opportunity? So they have a match, and Liv Morgan wins. I can't complain about Liv Morgan right now. Liv Morgan is not that bad in the ring. To me, and I hate comparing people, but to me, she wrestles better than Mandy Rose, and she wrestles better than Dana Brooke. So give Liv Morgan a little bit of a push right now, fine with it. I just don't know if that ends up with her versus Bianca. Maybe other than a match on SmackDown, it just doesn't feel. No, steak and eggs, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, bro. There's no controversy. The only reason why I mentioned it was because if I didn't mention it, I would have a ton of people who got in touch with me complaining. You know, I promised them. I said, all right, we'll figure something out. But look, man, you know, everybody should know in my contest that I try to be very laxed with it. Look, that card, obviously, a lot of people wanted it. So I understand why people yesterday, but people knew, you know, what you typed. You know, they knew what you would type in. So, no, man, you entitled to it. It's yours. I will say this, that I already told the first person that answered it correctly after you. I already told that first person that if I go back and watch it and that person got it, I have another card, another signed card that I'll give away. So worst case scenario, I'll give that person the second card. It's no problem. You're entitled to it, man. You do not feel guilty. You didn't do nothing wrong. So it's all good. Seriously. So anyway, so you got Liv Morgan, you know, complaining, rightfully so. But the problem is you have no one else for her to go up against. Carmella's already in. They already announced Carmella. No reason to go any further with that. Natty and Tamina suddenly are doing almost nothing. We see them more in the practice gym than we see them on the TV shows. But that's why you're not really seeing qualifying matches on the women's side, because the rosters are so small. The SmackDown women's roster, what, is it up to six now? So you understand why Shotzi Blackheart is needed in some way. Toni Storm is needed in some way. And this is the Nick Khan effect. All right. We're very, very thin on the women's roster right now. We'll bring up a couple of people from NXT. Let's be honest. I know a lot of you like Toni Storm. But anybody that tunes into my Wednesday shows, you've heard me say this many times before. Be up until her recent victory, I think it was against Zoe Stark, Toni Storm was 0-7 in NXT. Toni Storm had no momentum in NXT whatsoever. So you put her on SmackDown, and she doesn't necessarily have to feud with Bianca right now, or Sasha, or Bayley, but you put three, four more women on there, and they could kind of go at it against each other, and it kind of, you know, livens up the roster a little bit. Because nothing against Carmella, Liv Morgan, or even Zelina Vega. Do you want to see those three women in some capacity every single week on SmackDown? I don't think so. So maybe next week you have Toni Storm. The week after, you could put Liv Morgan back on. The week after that, maybe you put them against each other. So, yeah, I think Toni Storm on SmackDown, I like it. I like it. Big E and Shinsuke with Rick Boogs defeated Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews with Commander Aziz. The whole storyline is that Baron Corbin has lost hundreds of thousands of dollars of investment, promotions, because he doesn't have a plastic fucking crown. In storyline, just proclaim yourself king. You know, if, I mean, obviously, they're not going to do that. But I'm just wondering, is this leading to a babyface, sympathetic babyface term for Baron Corbin? Does it feel that way? Because I got to be honest with you. You know, when I watched that backstage segment with Rick Boogs trolling Nakamura, oh, last night I played checkers with Shinsuke, and you know what he said? King me! What else did he say? Oh, you know, Baron, you need a good night's sleep in a king-size bed. You know, Baron, you know, we're going to go get burgers. Would you like some Burger King? No, they didn't say that. All the king jokes. Honestly, I have sung the praise for Rick Boogs since his debut on SmackDown. I like the guy. Charismatic. Wait till live fans come back. They're going to love the guy. But honestly, tonight, in that storyline, I wanted Baron Corbin to punch Rick Boogs right in the mouth. I mean, he's just trolling him over and over again. I just was like, yo, seriously, if that motherfucker was doing that in my neck of the woods, I'd punch him right in the goddamn mouth. Take that guitar and shove it up his ass. He'll have fucking guitar strings coming out of his mustache. Boogs was being a dick tonight. I mean, I understand Corbin is a heel up until now, and Corbin has done a lot of shit, so that's obviously why Boogs and Nakamura would get a little revenge on Corbin. But tonight, I don't know, that kind of fell a little flat for me. Boogs, I would have liked to see him get punched in the mouth. Boogs! Boogs. A lot of people live, Austin and others, are saying, yeah, the jokes were odd. And Corbin is like, you're kicking a man while he's down. You know, I think they may be just thinking about doing a babyface turn for Baron Corbin. I am so sorry for doing this. I know it doesn't look good on video, but that's what happens when you have this freaking thing on for 3 hours. My whole face, I got to wash my face later. My whole face feels dirty, you know, because that's all I kept doing was breath for three hours, almost 3 hours, from 7:15 to 9:58 p.m. I had that freaking mask on. So, Sam, I don't know what makes you think that Reginald is almost done with WWE. It sure doesn't feel that way. WWE, I think, is going to run out of ideas for the guy. But, you know, he's not doing too much. King of Waco, I think we may actually see something with Rick Boogs and Elias. I think down the line, especially on a pay-per-view, since they're on different brands, I could picture Elias. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised at Money in the Bank or SummerSlam. Elias goes out there, hits the guitar string, and is about to play. He insults the fans and is about to play something. And when he goes to play, Rick Boogs hits his guitar. I think we will definitely see that. And you know what? Once in a while, they do the Invitational. Somebody from SmackDown shows up on Raw. Somebody from Raw shows up on SmackDown. So why not? Maybe Elias shows up on SmackDown, or vice versa. Rick Boogs shows up on Raw to get a little revenge on Elias. So that could definitely happen. The match between these four guys was okay. The big storyline here is even Apollo Crews, you know, get your head straight to Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin seems dejected, is no longer rich. His car was repoed. You know, Boog showing him on the screen that his car was repoed. You know, you can't help but to have a little sympathy for Baron Corbin right now. And I think that's what they're looking to do. It's not hot in here right now, believe it or not. It's only like 65 degrees outside. I have the air conditioner on because of the lights. But it's just, like I said, the mask made my face so itchy. It's not, I don't think it's a good idea to do Thunderdome and then do a show right after. If I had time to, like, wash my face, splash some cold water, probably would have felt a lot better. So, let's see. We talked about Bianca and Bayley. Oh, last man standing match. Money in the Bank qualifier. Kevin Owens beating Sami Zayn. Let me tell you something. Honestly, for me, one of my favorite matches of the year so far from SmackDown. As far as just the brands overall, I would put it in my top 10. These guys told such an awesome story today, tore the house down. Kevin Owens, you know, going through two tables outside the ring. Just a lot of psychology, you know, a lot of verbiage as well. And as I've told you before, that noise that you hear on your TV of the fans cheering or chanting, you know, 90% of that, we don't hear it in our ears during Thunderdome. The wrestlers in the match don't hear it either unless it's done for them to react to it. Like when Roman Reigns comes out, they want him to react to, you suck, you suck, you suck. But when you pay close attention, when you're in Thunderdome, you get certain moments where obviously a channel may have been turned off for a second, and you hear, you could tell that arena, there's no noise except for the commentators and the wrestlers and what they're doing in the ring. But these two guys tore the house down, went through the announcer's table, you know, Sami Zayn telling Kevin Owens that this is karma, hitting him with a bunch of huluva kicks. Kevin Owens would not go down. If I have to nitpick and critique anything about this match tonight, we've been seeing for weeks and weeks and weeks that Kevin Owens has had problems with his throat, problems, you know, period. And every week he's got issues with the, you know, complaining to the referee health-wise. And tonight during that match, there was no sign of it whatsoever. So I kind of hoped that they still would have incorporated that. It's almost like Randy Orton's burnt nose. Like 1 week later, he had plastic surgery, and it was all clear. His face was good. Remember he was wearing a mask with the Fiend, Alexa Bliss stuff? Lee says, why do I think they don't include fan reactions from Thunderdome on the shows? Like I said, it's just audio-wise. You got to understand something. Some fans, a lot of fans in Thunderdome are doing it from their phones. So the audio quality from a phone is not very good. Then you have some fans that are doing it through Skype, and Skype audio is crappy quality. Then you have fans that will do it through their computer and may have a mixer or something to improve audio quality. Not everybody has a microphone. Some people have headsets. So if you try to blend, oh man, this is really starting to get to me. You know what I almost feel like doing? Seriously? Take a little water? Oh, that feels so good. Sorry. We're going to wrap this up in a couple of moments anyway. But you take all that audio from so many different sources and you try to mix that together, it'll sound like a absolute mess. Yeah, Skype is still a thing, Sam. Sure. It's still this thing. It's just, like I said, everybody has different mediums. It would just sound terrible. Seriously. I mean, just picture, it would be so disorganized as well. Here's another problem I don't think anybody thinks about. You know, you're watching the feed, and, you know, if your connection is a little slow, there's a little buffering. You know, everybody's got to be in perfect sync also. If you pay a close attention to the screen, you'll see some people like go, all right, here's a good example. when Bianca Belair came out earlier, the guy told us, all right, some of you, if you know how to do it, you know, do that to Bianca. And if you watch the screen, you'll see a few people go like this, and then you'll see a few others like a couple of seconds later. You know, the timing is off. Could you imagine Chance? You know, it would just be a mess. Plus, here's another thing, and this is probably the most important thing. If everybody's chanting, we would have to be able to hear their chants so we could all be in sync with each other. If I can't hear anybody else's chants in Thunderdome and I start going, you suck, you suck, and someone else is like a half a second off, it's going to be, it's a mess. It's a mess. So they pipe in the noise. Trust me, if they were really using fan noise, you would hear people yelling once in a while, you know, Roman, you suck, or this. You don't ever hear anybody with one-liners. Even when the arena is quiet, you don't hear something. Trust me, with Edge cutting his promo and how silent it was, I guarantee you there would have been a couple of women or men that would have been in the crowd who would have, Edge, I love you! Edge, I love you! Bailey, marry me! You don't hear any of that stuff. So, I don't use Skype anymore, Sam, but I still have an account. If I ever need a connection in my office and I need to video conference with someone for some reason, I don't have Zoom in my office, so I keep Skype handy, but I don't use Skype. Skype is shit. But Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn tore it up tonight. If you did not see that match and you like these guys, go out of your way to watch it. I mean, you know, they took some crazy-ass bumps. Going, Kevin Owens cannonball through two tables outside the ring. That was phenomenal. You know, then he had to get up for the 10 count because it was last man standing. So this, you know, usually you go through two tables, you're like for a minute and a half. But he had to get up within 10 seconds. A lot of verbiage in the match. Towards the end of the match, Kevin Owens got the upper hand, and Sami Zayn said something to Kevin Owens like, how did we get to this point? How did we get to this point? And Kevin Owens is like, this is karma. And he put Sami Zayn through the announcer's table. Then he put him through another table. Then I think he did the pop-up powerbomb, and he just destroyed Sami Zayn. I will tell you, I loved their Mania match. I loved their match, the last match they had, but tonight's match, to me, my favorite Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn match in recent memory. It was phenomenal. Seriously. I see a lot of you out there. Oh, Courtney, have a good night. Good night. Happy 4th to you. Everyone else that is disconnecting because it's getting a little bit late. Have a great night. We're going to start wrapping this up any minute. But I see a lot of you out there saying the same thing about the match. Mike thinks that Kevin Owens should go heel. I disagree. If it's not broken, don't try to fix it. Kevin Owens is great right now. Fans love him. If you follow his social media, very, very interactive with the fans. Always showing his kids, showing his pets. He's one of the more likable guys out there. There's no reason to change him right now. There's really no reason. By the way, I know this is something sad and totally unrelated, but if you are a fan of The Miz, maybe you want to take a glance at his social media page and send some thoughts his way. One of his dogs passed away. I don't know what the circumstances were. All I know is Miz posted a cute video of him with, I don't know if it was like a Rottweiler, but she was playing tug of war with The Miz with like a fake WWE championship. But The Miz, very, very emotional today on social media. So maybe you want to just stop over. I mean, you know, I understand a lot of you out there send a lot of love and support to your favorite wrestlers and they never respond to you. you know, understand that for most of them, and this is not defending them, but most of them, they have a setting that the only people that they see responding are blue check marks. You can have that setting where the only comments you see are that. Otherwise, you might see tens of thousands of posts, you know, going through. But they can see it if they want. And there are a lot of wrestlers that do socialize with their fans. But I do have some of you once in a while, you know, tell me that, you know, you show all this love and support to, the, you know, various people and they never respond. Do not take it personal. Do not take it personal. But, you know, just I saw that today and I figured I'd mention it in case anybody wants to, you know, send some thoughts his way. So Kevin Owens advances to the Money in the Bank ladder match. And where this leaves Sami Zayn, I don't know. I have a feeling we may see Sami Zayn and Apollo Crews feud. I have a feeling they may go that route. Yes, I know what you're going to say. They're both heels. But I just got a feeling that they may actually go that route. They could always do an Acme Insta feud with Sami Zayn with someone else. You know, they got to get Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode back in the mix. In fact, Robert Roode, I think he wrestled tonight in the dark match. Hold on, let me check this out. Odyssey Jones, and his real name is Omari Palmer. He took on Robert Roode today in a dark match. He's the former football player for Syracuse that signed with WWE a couple of years ago. He took on Robert Roode today. I knew Robert Roode had a dark match tonight also. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, obviously, you have Karrion Kross three matches now. Remember, one dark match, one main event match, and then the match against Cesaro tonight. Obviously, they are interested in doing something further. But again, like I said before, I don't think anybody is looking at it, this aspect of it. You can see, possibly, NXT wrestlers wrestle on the main brands, but still be part of NXT. Because remember what I said earlier, that we really didn't talk too much on. Zelina Vega, in her promo, mentioned that if she wins Money in the Bank, the briefcase, she could challenge someone on Raw or SmackDown or NXT. NXT is back in play. So the fact that Zelina Vega dropped NXT in her promo tonight, you could see that WWE now wants to elevate. I don't want to say elevate. Wants to commingle the main roster with NXT more. That's what's going to happen. I think that's where it's going. Some people think that these wrestlers, some of them are getting graduated to the main roster and that's it. They're done with NXT. You heard it here. This is just an opinion, but I truthfully believe they're going to commingle NXT in the main roster. That is different of just elevating people. So I think that's where they're going with it. And I like it. I like it. I definitely like it. It really mixes things up. And it also gives the opportunity for someone in Raw or SmackDown to show up in NXT. Liven it up a little bit. Give a little surprises here and there. So I'm all for that, man. I'm all for it. So, Liv Morgan beat Zelina Vega. Otis beat Angelo Dawkins in less than 2 minutes, and this was like a squash match. I don't know why they waited so long, everybody. But Otis now, head shaved completely. No sign of facial hair whatsoever. Looks like the asshole football player, like the asshole on the football team that just like trolls everyone and gives everybody wedgies. Otis's look right now, they should have done this when he first turned heel. I don't know why they didn't think of it then, but I freaking love Otis's look. Otis just looks like a miserable son of a bitch right now. His hair is almost shaved. All right, Benjamin, it's cut short, but you know what I mean. It's pretty much he is almost shaved. You know, I love it. I love it. I mean, when he was on the bump the other day, I laughed. I laughed. And I just kept saying to myself, I'm like, I don't know why they didn't do this like 4 or 5 months earlier. You know what, though? Maybe it was better they did it now with live fans close to returning in 2 weeks. So maybe that was the right way to go. So I like it, man. I like it. But, you know, Angelo Dawkins getting squashed in 2 minutes. So all we had left tonight was Jimmy Uso and Edge. After Edge cut his promo at the beginning of the night, we see Jimmy Uso in the back with Paul Heyman. Yo, dog, did you see what Edge just said? Dog. You know, and basically what he's saying is that Roman Reigns, you got to pay attention to Paul Heyman during this segment. Jimmy Uso's telling Paul Heyman, you know, Roman Reigns, the tribal chief, he's got my back, I got his back. And Paul Heyman's got this look on his face like, yo, you really think Roman Reigns has your back? You really think so? That's where they're going. I mean, they told us to boo Jimmy Uso tonight. But to me, I think a lot of you out there, same way, we see this a mile away. Roman Reigns does not have the back for Jimmy Uso. I think in the end, Jimmy Uso tried to do the right thing. I think it ends up being a setup. Maybe Jey Uso has to choose between both sides. I don't know if you put Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso back together as a tag team right now. Maybe you can. You know, I'm kind of like disliking the fact that they did this injury storyline with the Mysterios. They're tag team champions, and they're doing nothing. We're going to go into Money in the Bank, and the SmackDown tag champs probably have nothing on that card. Nothing. So, yes, Austin, Edge looks like a man possessed. Edge's age does not factor in 1% for me as far as storyline goes. I think we all really need to lay off the age factor for a lot of wrestlers and just focus on what they're doing inside the ring. If they could still go and it feels like they haven't lost a beat, there's no reason why we shouldn't enjoy it. Because see, here's the thing. For people out there that are saying, you know, Edge looks great and everything, but look at his age. It's time to elevate somebody else, and no one has been elevated other than maybe Jimmy or Jey Uso in some way, and you know they're not going to take on Roman right now, and blah, 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 blah. And they feel, you know, someone else should get that opportunity. Well, here's the thing. 5 years from now, there's a good chance Edge will no longer be in this ring. 5 years from now, somebody who is maybe 25 probably still has another 10 years, 15 years in as a wrestling career. So if Edge could still go now and put on a phenomenal performance, why wouldn't you go with that? Why would you put that aside simply because someone has already walked the walk and talked the talk and has a legendary career? No, man. If you look at Edge's career and all the accolades and his career, I mean, it puts rings around Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns, obviously, very early, still got many years to go. And he'll be up there. But the thing is, Edge is killing it right now. He's only been back 1 week. But every appearance that he has made, does anybody remember his promo he cut right before Mania? Everything Edge has done since he returned to WWE has been excellent. Excellent. So tonight, you know, basically Jimmy Uso knows that Edge is going to be looking for Roman Reigns, is going to attack him, and Jimmy Uso is going to take care of business. And so we know we're ending the show in some capacity with Edge and Jimmy Uso and maybe Roman Reigns. So basically what happens is Jimmy Uso comes out and demands that Edge come to the ring. Roman Reigns was not there. You know, I don't think anybody should be upset that Roman Reigns was not there. You know, some people I saw late tonight were saying like, oh, you know, they teased like Roman Reigns was going to be in the building. He never showed up. During the Attitude Era, we would have that happen all the time. You know, sometimes they would tease that somebody was going to be in a match and they didn't show. It's not a big deal. It's only 1 week. But he claims that Edge is scared of him, and Jimmy Uso mocked Edge, and he said that it's not a setup. Roman Reigns was not there. Don't worry about it. Blah, 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 blah. You're scared of me. Edge walks up the ramp. He mocks Jimmy Uso, and he said he knows that Roman Reigns is waiting, ready to attack him. And he pointed out that Roman Reigns is using Jimmy Uso just like he used Jey Uso. So what ends up happening, they brawl, and Edge gets the upper hand and hits him with a spear and then does that crossface move. Same visual of what Edge did to Roman Reigns not too long ago when Roman Reigns had that funky look on his face, and that's how he went off the air. So, yes, being in Thunderdome made SmackDown a lot more fun. But if you look at tonight, it was a very fun episode, very smooth. You know, as far as the Money in the Bank goes, currently your participants, let me pull up the updated list. On the men's side, you have Ricochet, John Morrison, Riddle, Drew McIntyre, Big E, Kevin Owens, Cesaro, or Seth Rollins next week. And then you have next week Shinsuke Nakamura, Baron Corbin. Now, to be honest with you, I'm sick of Shinsuke versus Corbin, but it almost feels like Corbin has to lose the match to keep the storyline going. Make no sense for him to win the briefcase. So next week, I think Shinsuke will advance. And Cesaro Rollins, I got to think about that one. Because giving Rollins the briefcase, yeah, that could tease him cashing in at any time. And maybe that's how he gets the match with Roman Reigns down the line. That could possibly be. So I'm not sure yet. But then again, Cesaro, after he had that match with Roman Reigns, it doesn't feel, you know, like he's in that main event picture anymore. So they might put him in the ladder match just to throw a bone. So that's what we got next week. AS7607, have a great night, sweetheart. Have a good weekend. Much love. And yes, let me know when you get the package. Happy 4th. Happy 4th. On the women's side, you have Asuka versus Naomi versus Alexa Bliss versus Nikki Cross versus Carmella versus Zelina Vega, and two more to be determined. I think Liv Morgan has to be one. The other one, maybe they give us Sasha Banks. Maybe. Not saying it's going to happen. Maybe. That would be interesting. If Sasha, maybe, I know some might even think Becky Lynch. I don't think you put Becky Lynch, but, and I'm really sorry about this. I brought this up the other day. Becky Lynch was the women's champion. Asuka won Money in a Bank briefcase. And Becky Lynch, because she got pregnant, God bless her, she opened up the briefcase to reveal to Asuka that she not only won the contract, she won the title. So now if you think of storyline, Becky Lynch never lost her championship. So maybe Becky Lynch gets the opportunity to win the briefcase to try to get back her championship that she never lost. So that could very well end up happening. Stefan, why does Sasha Banks always get opportunities? Because she's one of the top stars in WWE. You can't, you know, there's some people that if they do deliver and they're popular and they get the job done and they have a great, you know, repertoire and they could really do it in the ring, they should get a lot of opportunities. You could say the same thing for Roman Reigns. Why does Roman Reigns keep getting opportunities? Well, because he's the best person on the roster. You could say that almost for anybody. And Sasha Banks is not even back right now. She's not even back yet. So also we have Bobby Lashley versus Kofi. And again, if you tune into what I said on Monday, that I think this storyline ultimately leads to Big E versus Lashley, because we're going to have Lashley versus Xavier Woods again on Monday. And then you have Money in the Bank. So there's only one other member of New Day that hasn't faced Bobby Lashley. So Big E might be the one to step up on behalf of his two brothers. So that's why I still feel Big E is the one that's going to win the briefcase. But we still have a couple of weeks to think about it. Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte for the Raw Women's Championship. Roman Reigns versus Edge. And the I Quit match that was announced today, Bianca Belair versus Bayley. So, and that is your show for tonight, everybody. 1 hour and 56 minutes. About 26 minutes longer than what I thought I was going to go tonight. But we had some excellent conversation. I think the Zelina Vega analysis probably extended the show a little bit because we had no idea she was returning tonight. We heard rumblings that she could be back, and now she's back. And again, I just hope that she doesn't get, the keyboard warriors ripping her for giving in to the evil WWE. It is what it is, but she's got to do what makes her happy, not what makes us happy. So, all right, everybody, much love as always. One last time, if you don't mind, I know I ask this every show, but if you enjoyed the show tonight, hit that like button on the way out. If you have a comment about tonight's show, you want to comment about Zelina Vega, you want to comment about anything that I said tonight, please post it in the comment section. Over the weekend, I'll be off and on, exchanging a lot of comments here. And for everybody who emailed me for an invite for the new Discord channel that I launched for my YouTube family, I will email everybody tonight. And if anyone else out there wants an invite to be part of our Discord, just drop me an email, dontony@dontony.com. We're going to keep it very tight, and it's going to be just for my YouTube family out there. So it's going to be a place where you all could chat at times when the shows aren't on. Because I see what goes on in these chat rooms, and it's wonderful. Everybody's having a good time. But what happens when the shows are not live? There's other places you could chat, obviously. But the idea is, for my extended family out there, you'll have a place, where you could talk, and you could talk about whatever, and not worry about people jumping down your throat for stupid shit. People have certain views about certain wrestlers they like or dislike, and you don't have to worry. Look, you could debate and argue and stuff, but you don't have to worry about people calling you stupid simply because you're a fan of Charlotte or vice versa or something like that. So everyone, again, for those who celebrate, have a great 4th of July. And if you want to tune in Sunday night and see some fireworks from the de Blasio household, then make sure you are a channel member. Hit the notification. Right now, I'm probably going to set the time for 9:30 Sunday night. That time could change by a few minutes because I don't control the fireworks. And I can't tell everybody who's lighting them off, like, hey, could you start it up? I'm about to do a stream. So I'll be there. I don't know, how great the video quality will be, but I'll be there with the iPhone. I'll have it on maximum quality. I got decent internet connection there, and I'll be doing it from the house, so we should be good to go. And everyone stay safe, be well, and I will catch you all again. If you don't hang out Sunday, I'll be back Monday night with Mish for Breakfast Soup Raw. So everyone, have a great night. Let me make sure I did not leave out anybody's super chats. I didn't. So I leave you all with this. Night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.